I'd like to call together the Common Council meeting for Tuesday, June 17th. The time is 6:30. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Mayor Olson is excused. Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman Beam.
Here.
Alderwoman Wellbone.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Here.
Please show me a pledge. First order of business is citizen comment period. Do we have any citizens who would like to speak?
I know you have Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I know you've got a long agenda tonight, but there are two things I'd like to talk about. The first one I'd like to talk about, I don't know if the city has taken a position yet about the situation at South Ridge. As most of you know, I have just completed a six-year term, two three-year terms as a county commissioner, and I'm now on the advocacy committee for the Department on Aging. And as you know, the Simon brothers, they have moved the bus stop. They moved it to 1,000 feet away from the closest door. And the Corporation Council for the county has been negotiating with the manager of South Ridge. And now they have moved it to 700 feet away. Big deal, that's what I would say. Because of the fact that we have a lot of senior citizens and handicapped people that ride buses over to South Ridge. Nobody can figure out why Simon Brothers is doing that to the buses and to the people that ride the buses. Now, they are doing it all over the country, and there's only one that I know of. There's only one city that has filed a lawsuit, and it's somewhere in southwestern Texas. Seems like it's San Antonio, but I can't be for sure. But nevertheless, the county supervisors, we're going to pass a law, and then that's when the South Ridge manager decided to sit down and negotiate with the Corporation Council. But as far as I'm concerned, that's way too far, 700 feet. And so I would like to see the city pass some kind of a resolution in objection to what South Ridge management, Simon Brothers, their headquarters is in Indianapolis. See what I would like to see you pass a resolution in opposition to their moving the bus stop. As you know, it was very close to Sears. The people would get off and very shortly walk into the Sears door. The other thing that I would like to talk about is I hope you keep the senior citizen in mind in Franklin when you talk about the block grant. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is anyone else?
I don't have much information. My name is John Wazanski. I live in Park Meadows Homes Association. I'm on the board. And I understand that there is going to be a charge made against us for water and sewer in addition to what we pay to Franklin on our property tax. And we're opposed to being double billed for the same service we're already paying for. Franklin does not give us much service. Fire, police, and EMT. You don't plow our roads. You don't supply us with water. You don't clean the sewers. So what are we paying for?
Thank you.
My name is Jay Sekulinski. I live at 2807 West Plaza Drive. Been there almost my whole adult life. I am looking for some clarification on a program that every citizen in Franklin, in southeastern Wisconsin, is enrolled in. The I don't know if you guys are aware of the ROC program, and I'm not talking about the ROC program, the baseball field. It's Resuscitation Outcomes Consortium Cardiac Community Consultation Survey. Basically what that is if your paramedic, emergency responders, respond someone that is having a coronary event, they are automatically enrolled in a program that when a paramedic deems an injection is needed, basically they get a kit that is either one of two drugs or a placebo. Everybody's enrolled in it automatically. I think it's immoral and shameful that, and I'd like to know how everybody in southeastern Wisconsin, particularly Franklin, has been enrolled in this program without their consult. Is there's over 1 million people that have been enrolled in it, and there's only been 8 people that have opted out. Now, they've advertised it through the newspaper, I understand, and through the journal and the radio. If only 8 people have opted out, I'd like to know why it wasn't a program where people can opt in. I've got no problem with medical testing as long as people are opting into them. Every person in this room, including Casper Green, if he goes into a coronary event and he is unable to speak for himself, he's going to have a 66% chance of getting a drug, a 33% chance of getting a placebo that is going to do zip for him. I think it's wrong, and I think it should be investigated by this group. And it was my understanding in talking to the medical group in Wisconsin, and it was you folks that gave the okay to enroll these people, have the automatic opt-in for it. I'm really upset about this whole program. As my wife passed away on New Year's Eve, I was 40 feet down the hallway, and nobody came to me and asked for my opinion on what should be administered to her. They instituted that program, and I'm 40 feet away. There's no paramedic, no emergency responder, nobody that has the right to make that call except me. I'm upset about it. I don't come up here and yap my gums out very often, but when I do, I'm serious. I'd like to have some answers. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Paul Moran, and I'm an attorney for Franklin Oasis LLC, which is the owner of the property that's subject to the hearing on the agenda. I don't know if now is the appropriate time to talk about it or wait until later.
You can wait at the public hearing.
All right, thank you.
His item was for the public hearing, so I don't think yours is the same.
My name is Carolyn Politsky, and I live at Riverwood Indian Creek Condos. And I'm here about your item number 13, the release of escrow deposits for Riverwood Village, because the pond retention system, the culvert that drains it, was installed or built incorrectly. And I'm acting president of the Riverwood Village Pond Association. And the estimate to have it built correctly is between $8,000 and $10,000. Unfortunately, I don't have the bid with me because I started the Pond Association, and I've been president. This is the fourth year, but I just asked for another volunteer to take over, and he's on vacation, and he has the paperwork. So I'll either wait until the item that comes up on your agenda or however you would like to address it, now or later.
Okay, thank you.
Later?
What we can do is we have a public hearing, and maybe after that I can ask the council if they would move that item up if you need
okay.
to know.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Richard Green. I live in Park Meadows Homes Association. I'm also the president of the association. Sorry. I'm here about the application. Number 11, application of Milwaukee Water Works for an increase in our rates. And I believe I got a quick message today from our secretary that basically said or told me that because we're using the city of Milwaukee's fire hydrant water, that we're going to be, the condos down there are going to be assessed higher or tax increase because the city of Milwaukee now wants that revenue that's built into our taxes. So our taxes are going to be increased by like $25 or something? Roughly, is that kind of the gist of what I'm getting here?
It's quite complicated. Maybe when we get to the agenda item, if you have time to stay for that, then you could.
Okay, well, one of the things is it's We have 195 units, and the condo association is 196. And I think, Christine, I think you live down there, so it affects you too. So I don't know how many of those are, but it's more than 137. Okay, to
begin
with.
It's 137 properties that get bills.
Well, our property has 196.
Right.
We pay taxes individually.
Not everyone, right. And you're correct on that, so we'll have to discuss that as well when we get to that agenda item.
Okay. So. Wait around.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Nancy Grinches. I live at 7562 South Nottingham. I'm actually here for the public hearing, but on your agenda, number 19, I just want to comment on to continue with AT&T as a vendor for telephone services. I would like this group or whoever is going to investigate why AT&T only has certain areas in Franklin with U-verse. My street does not have U-verse, and I would desperately want to have AT&T U-verse. So there are pockets of Franklin that are not allowed U-verse with AT&T. So if you would kindly look into that matter when you think about continuing with AT&T, that might be a little sidebar that you can ask about. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else who has any comments?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Referring to Mr. Green's comment, is there somewhere we can refer that to? Is there somewhere we can bring that back to for discussion that we make a statement to someone about South Ridge, or where do we go with that? It seems like we got a lot of requests tonight, many more than normal. Normally it's just statements, but tonight we have actual requests. Where do these go?
City Attorney.
If the Common Council member wishes, the subject matter may be placed on the next agenda, and that would be up to the mayor. The mayor sets the agenda. Otherwise, special meetings can be set by the two Common Council members. Otherwise, you can speak to staff. One point in that regard, however, is that it is in a different municipality, and Milwaukee County has undertaken some action. I understand the situation. Is it within the realm of Common Council to just make an expression by way of resolution? Yes, but it is in another municipality.
Well, I guess I would suggest that if you have an interest, you could take it up with the mayor
okay.
when he returns. And if he's not open to that and you want to put it on, you can get another alderman to sponsor that and put something on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Are there any other citizens that would like to comment? Seeing none, I'm going to close citizen comment period. I want to announce that I will be voting in the mayoral position, which means I won't vote on making a tie, with exceptions to items 11, 13, and 22, which I feel greatly will affect my district and don't want to lose the right to represent the district on those items. So the next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes, the regular minutes of June 3rd. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, the next item is public hearing. Madam Clerk, would you like to hear the public hearing notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin has declared its intention to exercise its police powers under Section 66.0701 Wisconsin Statutes and Section 20715 Franklin Municipal Code to levy special assessments for installation of sanitary sewer, water main, sanitary sewer laterals, water main laterals, the extension of a public street, including curb and gutter, along with the necessary appurtenances in the following locations. West Evergreen Street extension from a point 800 feet east of South 51st Street to a point 1,360 feet east of South 51st Street. A report showing proposed plans and proposed assessments and other data is on file in the clerk's office at Franklin City Hall. Notice is hereby given that such a report is open for review and inspection from Monday through Friday, between 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and will be so continued for a period of 10 days after the date of the publication of this notice. Notice is also hereby further given that on Tuesday, June 17, 2014, at 6:30 p.m. in the Common Council chambers, the Common Council will be in session in their chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear all persons interested, their agents or attorneys, concerning the matter contained in the preliminary resolution and report, including proposed assessments. By order of the Common Council of the City of Franklin, this 23rd day of May, 2014.
I believe the public hearing notice was properly read into the record. With that, I'll open the public hearing up for comment. Are there any citizens that would like to comment on the public hearing for this natural resource exception? Please come forward.
Good evening. My name is Paul Moran, and I'm an attorney for Franklin Oasis LLC. They're the title holder. It's the title holder of the property in question. I think that you need to know a little something about this property. It was part of an estate. Was left to four family members who then formed this LLC. They are elderly. They are not people of great means. And in our discussion with the city engineer, when this matter came up, was the deferment of the assessment. We are requesting that any assessment that is made be deferred. It is on the market for sale. It's being very actively marketed. We have Nancy Grinches here, who is the listing broker. We don't oppose the project so long as the assessment is deferred. And that's our request to the Common Council.
Okay, thank you. City Attorney, that was the motion we passed at the last meeting to allow for that?
Actually, Madam Chairman, there was a new amendment ordinance to special assessment ordinance in Franklin to provide for a deferment, and essentially what it provides is that the assessments would be deferred until a conveyance of the subject property or actual connection to the facilities for which the properties are being or the property is being assessed, and that was adopted by the Common Council on June 3. It is now effective upon publication. I understand that while the public hearing is this evening, staff is awaiting a bid return on the West Evergreen Street Extension project, and that there's anticipation from engineering staff that the West Evergreen project final resolution, which would be the special assessment determination by the Common Council, will return at the July 1 Common Council meeting together with a bid award for the project for the Common Council to consider, and that the engineer's report for the special assessment took into account the new deferment policy, which was made available by the Common Council at its last meeting, and that will be included for the Common Council's consideration as part of the final resolution at the July 1 meeting.
Hopefully that addresses your question.
Thank you.
Are there any other citizens? Yes, Nancy.
Hi. Nancy Grinches. I'm the listing agent on that property. May I pass out the pass it down. My comment about that too is I've been doing active marketing on that property. It looks like it is it's about 34 acres. Of course, now with the new acreage is with the street going through the lower part of the property, the actual development piece of that property would be probably about 25 acres. There, in the middle of the property, there is some wetlands. And I have had a number of developers already contact me, walk the property. I can't tell you how many times I've walked the property. There is a lot of potential on that property. There is a house also that is on there that has been condemned. The house had a fire a number of years ago, and it will be flattened or raised, so the house is not part of the parcel. I am in the process of getting a price adjustment, and we are not unopposed either of the road. We've met several times with the engineering department and have had explanations given to us. However, as the attorney who represents the Franklin Oasis Group has stated, this group is of no means right now, and there is no way that they would be able to pay any assessments or any value until what we're all hoping for is a deferment of the payment, so that a developer that may come in here and develop this property would be willing to pay for that assessed value. If that's clear, and that's all I want to say. Did everybody get one of these? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any citizens that would like to comment? Any other citizens? No one else coming forward? I'm going to close the public hearing. We move on to the reports and recommendations under Business of the City. Item number G1, request to accept donations for the 2014 National Night Out from Bank Mutual, Faith Presbyterian Church, Crisco Chiropractic, Master Lock, St. Martin's Tour Parish, and We Energies. Do we have a motion?
So moved to accept.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number two, request from Joseph A. Bukovic, Point Real Estate, for two model home permits in Avian Estates, Lot 1 and 3, approximately 7,300 block of West Cutes Road. This would be in the 1st District. Andrea?
I'll make the motion to approve the request by Joseph Bukovic, Point Real Estate, for the approval for the inspection department's issuance of two model home permits for Korndorfer Homes and Carrick Homes on lots 1 and 13 in Avian Estates, subject to conditions 1 through 5 above.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? No discussion. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? See no opposed. Motion carries. G3, final resolution directing installation payment of special assessment for the installation of a water main in West St. Martin's Road from South Chapel Hill Drive to a point 440 feet southeast of South Chapel Drive. I believe this is in 6? District 6?
Yes, I make a motion to accept a petition and waiver of notice and hearing from property owners at 10475 West St. Martin's Road regarding the installation and assessment of water main on West St. Martin's Road from South Chapel Hill Drive to a point 440 feet southeast of South Chapel Hill Drive.
I'll second.
Any discussion? No discussion from staff? Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carried. Item G4, preliminary resolution.
We still have to do that.
Oh, second motion?
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. Go ahead.
Second motion to adopt the resolution.
Hang on a second. Attorney, would you like to comment?
Just one thing. There's a piece of paper in front of the common council members with a G period, 3 period at the top in today's date, and it refers to a be it further resolved, which is the second last paragraph on page 29 of the packet, and that's what I put on the record at the last meeting. And so it goes beyond saying the assessment may be paid in full at once or in 12 installments, and it goes on to reference the property owners that are fitting into a long-time existing ordinance exception for 300 feet of frontage where there's a house on the property with existing water supply, and also the same new potential deferment as a choice, which I mentioned during the public hearing on the last item.
Okay.
So the motion would be understood to include that amendment to the resolution, which is in the packet.
Okay.
So when I say the motion, it's going to include what you just said?
Unless you choose not to.
Okay. So motion to adopt the resolution directing installation of payment and levy of special assessment for installation of water main, West St. Martin's Road from South Chapel Hill Drive to point 440 feet southeast of South Chapel Hill Drive.
Second.
And second. Is there any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No opposed. Motion carries. G4, also in the 6th District, I believe, preliminary resolution declaring intent. That's the attorney.
Madam Chairman, with regard to item G4, that was an alternative just in the event there was some issue which prevented the adoption of item G3. So the Common Council can either ignore item G4 or just table indefinitely.
Since we passed the first item, table indefinitely would probably be appropriate motion here.
It's irrelevant at this point, frankly.
Let's ignore it.
Okay. No action will be taken on item G4. Item G5, resolution awarding a contract in the amount of $117,360 to WASNAC Corporation for the extension of the water main for West St. Martin's Road from South Chapel Hill Drive to point 440 feet southeast of South Chapel Hill Drive.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. No opposed. Motion carries. We did have a request from one of the constituents. We seem to be moving on pretty quickly here versus on not until item 13. So would you... Okay. If we get stuck on one, you might be sorry you said that, but... Okay, the six now. Okay. Item 6, a resolution conditionally approving a 4-lot certified serving map, being an outlot 1 of the CSM 7051, outlot 1, block 7 is Tuckaway Green Edition 2, and the lands in the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of Section 9, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Creative Homes, Inc. is the owner. 771 South 76th Street, 7901 West Imperial Drive, and 7915 West Imperial Drive. This is in District 2.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If I could ask Mr. Deedle, can you explain the septic vent, the issue with the easement and moving that?
Yes, the existing property, the house that's fronting on 76th Street, has a septic system. And the way the developer bought that property from the person who used to own the home. So now the developer owns the property. The way he wants to divide that property is going to have that septic system vent on a future different lot than the house is located. It is their intent to abandon that septic system when the public sewer and the parcel gets developed. And for a period of time, that vent would be on a separate parcel. The developer had suggested, and the city engineer, Jack Bennett, at the time had agreed that it would be okay to address that situation, a part of that structure on a different future lot with a temporary limited easement. And the staff was okay with that. So we're addressing that situation, part of that system on somebody else's land with an easement. And eventually they would connect to the public sewer. That system would be removed and it wouldn't be a problem.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandrea.
So Joel, is someone occupying that house right now?
I'm not sure.
And hasn't that portion of 76th Street been approved to have the new sewer and water?
Yes. They will have to also extend that sewer and water along that Faith Drive because they'll add a cul-de-sac to that
to access the other properties behind it. So is his intent only to tear down the garage, or is he going to be doing something with the house as well?
He doesn't know for sure. He had a preliminary meeting with staff when he was going to do a subdivision plat first. Now he's phasing it. That's why he's doing that with CSM.
Okay.
He thought the house would stay for now, and then later down the road something could change. But for now, at first, the house was the land's in the back. We subdivided into the house to build that house.
So if we have the sewer and water that's accessible to that parcel, why wouldn't we just say, okay, you have to connect, instead of creating a situation of making that vent onto that other parcel?
I'm not sure what the current policies are. I don't know if he's required to connect in a certain amount of time or not. He admitted he would eventually, but he didn't say that.
Kelly Consumer is 1 year if you have to connect to it. There's other circumstances, you know, that are, can be defined and combined enough to, you know, assurances were given to you.
Yes. We'd be comfortable if like it was a year and a half from now, the sewer was going to be going in for everybody and be able to connect at that time. Planning standard.
Sure. But at the time of sale, wasn't he given a credit for the cost of that special assessment that was imposed on that parcel? In regards to selling property, that's how it works. So, you know, the buyer obviously received a credit of some kind because of the special assessment that was posed on that property. So, I'm not going to practice law on the bench here, but I would definitely want to investigate that. And yeah, I could see it, you know, holding it till you would have, you know, do it all at once so we don't impose additional costs on the city. But eventually I would probably take care of that or want to address that sooner than later.
I don't believe this would affect any requirements the city already has for when he has to connect to the sewer. This is just having that installation on somebody else's.
Yeah. For a potential buyer of that lot, I mean, I don't know if I'd want it on my lot if I bought that lot. So.
City Attorney?
My understanding is that the longstanding city policy, outside of what was adopted last year for the southwestern sanitary sewer district, is that when public sewer becomes available meaning within 400 feet of the dwelling, mandatory hookup must occur within a year. There is no mandatory hookup for water. There's no reason because of a land division. I shouldn't say there's no reason. There's no requirement and no ability to condition a land division approval on hooking up the sewer water because the city has separate ordinances for those.
Okay.
Does that satisfy your questions?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? No more discussion. Call for vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number 7, a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a dog and cat grooming and pet supply retail sales business used on the property located at 8935 South 27th Street, David Jankowski and Tamara Jankowski doing business as a Green Dog Grooming LLC applicant. This is in Alderwoman Evans' district court.
It is in my district, but I will not make a motion.
Is there anyone else who would like to make a motion on this item?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
I have discussion.
Go ahead, Alderman.
I understand the Plan Commission approved this special use. I do have some concerns about this, being that it is connected to a restaurant, Mulligan's Restaurant. It is sharing a parking lot with Mulligan's Restaurant. There is
not very much, there is not a lot of green space in that parking lot. And there are no assigned parking spaces in that parking lot. That being said, I'm just concerned about dog waste from this facility. There are no rules set for a facility like this. So I'm just concerned about animals coming in and out, where the dog waste will be. A lot of establishments don't have garbage cans anymore outside. When animals are coming in and out, if they do use the green space outside, that might be tracked into the restaurant. It's just some concerns that I have. There's also a patio at Mulligan's, and currently restaurants are not allowed to have animals on their patios, but there is a new Department of Health Services in the state of Wisconsin is currently looking at dogs in outside seating areas on premises of food establishments. So if we do allow that in the future, being that that's connected to a restaurant, I'm just thinking in the future how that will affect a restaurant. So those are my concerns right now. So I don't know how the rest of the council feels about it, but I'm not in favor of it.
Alderwoman Mayer, and then Alderman Schmidt, and then Alderman Kendra.
I just have a question for Mr. Deedle then. The parking spaces, I believe, the ones way to the left of the building, is the way I'm looking at it. Are those the ones designated for that?
I believe there are not anything specifically designated for either tenant. They just have to share to the best of their ability. We just looked at it from just the total number of parking spaces were enough for those two kinds of businesses. Yes, there could be events that Mulligan's has, and they do, let's say, all the parking spaces. Typically, it's not uncommon that those tenants don't have that, especially for older situations. Newer developments often will start to look at those kinds of issues. It's not too uncommon that they just have to work it out the best they can. So from an ordinance standpoint, we don't require that they have to work it out. They just have to have a total number of both businesses combined.
What buildings are farther left of that building? I mean, like, how close is the next? With like no green space in between or anything like that?
Green space between us, but no driveway.
So there is green space to the left of those very left parking
probably
spaces?
Probably the lawn for the motel.
Okay.
Is it all? Alderman Mayer, do you have anything else?
No, not at this time, no, thank you.
Alderman Schmidt?
So what was what was occupied in that building prior to the dog grooming application?
Hair salon.
And was there an estimate of how much traffic there is pet grooming, how many spots that they would be occupying it at a peak hour?
UDO would require six, a minimum of six. And the applicant thought they would have 12 to 14 pets per day.
The traffic flow of in and out.
So you assume at least the minimum of a dozen to a dozen and a half cars a day. And the UDO requires six spaces for that kind of business.
And what are the operating hours for the grooming?
Monday through Saturday, 8 to 6, and by appointment, probably.
So it's primarily a daytime business,
yeah.
Whereas
there's going to be a little overlap between normal and Monday and Saturday.
that's that, I mean, being a dog owner and taking him to a groomer, I really don't have a situation where my dog, or do I witness other dogs going in and out of a pet grooming place to be going outside the facility. There's one right on 76th and between Rawson and Imperial, Lulu's Dog Parlor, that's in a similar type of a setup, a strip center with many other occupants. And the general rule, and even in this write-up, they expect their owner to pick up the dog within a two to two and a half hour time frame. So with 12 to 14 dogs from 8 to 6, they can only handle maybe two, maybe three dogs, you know, in a coverage period. So there's not going to be a lot of concerns with, in my opinion, of cars, because when I go to Lulu's, it's never a concern. And there's adequate parking. The time frame of the occupancy of them using it for pet care versus Mulligan's, yes, there's going to be an occasional overlap, but nothing that I'm deeply concerned about. And I'd recommend that we go ahead and approve this for make it, you know, go for approval.
Alderman Mayor?
They said that they don't have any additional landscaping, lighting, or exterior changes to the exterior of the building at this time. I'm wondering, would that include a possible outdoor kenneling area?
If they wanted to make any structures, yes, they would have to come back for some type of approval, depending how significant. It might be something staff could do administratively. If it was significant, then they would have to come back through the special use amendment process. If they were just trying to let the animals run around loose, first we'd see if any of the other city regulations would apply first. And if that's not covering the situation, if somebody has a complaint, then again, we try to address that.
But an outdoor kennel would possibly be a special use permit. Yeah.
Changing it from a grooming to a kennel would require. We have a few other businesses that are slightly different than this, and we always try to make it clear both to the applicant and to the common council of the city, whether it's grooming or kenneling or a combination of both, it impacts it. So this is only if you try kenneling, they have to come back.
Okay, and then is there any way that we would be able to get them or have us have the parking spaces notated just for them on that left side?
If the council believes that it is a significant problem, it can be added as a condition to this special use resolution. I also volunteer that if there's concern about animal waste, that could also be added as a condition that proper receptacles and bags and stuff be provided either on premises or outside to pick up the waste. That could also be added as a condition.
It's a pleasure of the council. Would you like to make any adjustments to the motion?
Well, the maker of the motion was Doug.
Right. So I made the motion. I was seconded. And move the question.
Well, did you want to add anything in regards to?
I
have a point of order here. That you had called the question.
Hasn't been seconded.
So if it's not seconded, it will fail, and you can continue and have the floor.
I don't.
Do we have a second to the calling the question? First of all,
if we don't second it, what it, we can it continue
fails,
on with our conversation,
then, right?
I made the motion that it was seconded as originally. I'm not.
I'm talking about your calling the question motion. Oh. Are you calling the question to end debate and vote?
Yes.
I believe that there is there are individuals that would like to continue a comment, and calling the question isn't meant to cut off debate. So
I'll withdraw the call question.
Okay. So We have no second. The motion fails. I'm calling the question. We can continue debate. Alderman Schmidt, you still have the floor. The question was if you would like to accommodate any of the concerns within your motion, or if you want to keep the motion as is, and then those accommodations would be some parking spaces, particularly for that user, and dog waste receptacles, one or both or none of those options to your motion. Is that a desire to?
Well, I'll amend the motion that to provide some dog waste receptacles.
Okay, is that acceptable to the mayor for the second?
Yes.
Suzanne said okay. Yes, that's acceptable. Okay. I second that.
Is there any more debate on the motion? City Attorney.
Only that in regard to the condition. That's a parenthetical, and staff will rewrite it technically. And beyond receptacles, it's something along the lines of requiring the applicant to undertake all reasonably necessary measures to ensure that the property remains free of.
Okay. Thank you very much. I guess we're ready for the question here. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Well, we have two no's and two yeses.
I think
three yeses. Three yeses and two no's. So let's do a roll call.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderwoman Evans?
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
We do have 3-2 motion carried. Okay. The next one is item 8, standards and findings and decisions of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application for the City of Franklin for a special exception to the natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance for West Evergreen Street Extension. This is in District 3, which I represent. I am not voting on this item. I'm sure the council has seen this enough times. The only concern I had has been discussed with the city attorney, and that was that there were a change in the project area. The delineation needs to get to the DNR, proving that there's no additional impacts on the parking lot area, because a special exception, as written, does not include any information on the parking lot. The sewer pack representative has assured me that there is no wetland impacts, and we are okay, and the DNR would be satisfied with getting that information. So with that, is there a motion to approve the natural resource special exception to allow the extension of Evergreen?
So move.
A second.
Okay, first and a second. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G9, request from the Parks Commission for the Common Council to designate Pleasant View Trail as the official name for the newly installed trail between Pleasant View School and the Victor Creek Subdivision.
So moved.
Second.
There's been motion second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Opposed? Motion carries. G10, request from the Parks Commission for the Common Council to accept the student-constructed Aldo Leopold design style bench in the Victor Creek Special Park as a gift to the city, subject to the anchoring as deemed appropriate by the Superintendent of Public Works or other options as deemed appropriate by the Common Council. This is pretty self-explanatory. This is also an item in District 3. I have no particular preference on this. The only thing is it was a memorial bench, and I wish that whoever makes the motion takes that into consideration, that the feelings of the people who put that there, it might have special meaning to them and might be important for their peace of mind.
Move to accept.
I'll second.
First and second, any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposed, motion carries. Let's see. Number 11, application from the Milwaukee Water Works, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, authority to increase the water rates, Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, docket number 3720WR108, sum of 137 properties in the city of Franklin be affected thereby. There's probably several people can address this. Is there a staff member that would like to take a shot at this first? I know Paul and I have talked a lot about the fees on this. And we have some constituents that are concerned about this as well. And this is an item, as I stated, that I would be voting on. Paul, are you going to start the conversation on that?
Records by the Public Service Commission, it was determined that these properties are not currently receiving any of the public fire protection charges from the Milwaukee Water Works, which are required by the Public Service Commission rate structures. Wisconsin statutes allow the local municipality to determine how those public fire protection charges will be charged or received by the local, by the providing utility. And just by way of review, public fire protection is the source of water that's provided by the water utility for the fighting of fires should they occur. Typically, when a fire occurs, there's a spike in demand for water and a need for water. And by providing the infrastructure by the local water utility that costs the utility some additional funds, they have that capacity available. And so the Public Service Commission has mandated that this charge be provided. Be made. The most common method in this, there are two common methods used throughout the state for charging public fire protection. One is to have the determined amount by the Public Service Commission charged by the utility back to the municipality, in which case it then becomes part of the municipality's tax levy. The other most common method in the state is that the Public Service Commission determines a rate chart for the public service, public fire protection, and that is charged to each of the water utility customers. And the rate is dependent upon the size of the water meter or the size of the service to that particular facility. A third method exists in the state but is uncommonly used. It is a method that was developed in the early 1990s at the request of the city of Franklin, as a matter of fact, in which case the city found it desirable to split the water utility public fire protection charge between the municipality and the ratepayers. And that is the method that the Common Council adopted in a resolution in 1993. You have a copy of that resolution in your packet. What that effectively does for the city of Franklin and its water utility is to have the water utility charge the city for half of the public fire protection charge, and that ends up on the property tax levy, and the other half is charged to those water utility customers who are served by the Franklin utility. In the instance here, we have 137 properties principally located in the far northeast corner of the city, although there are two properties along College Avenue and Highway 100 that are served by the Milwaukee utility, Milwaukee Water Works, which would also be impacted by this. And a third alternative would be to have the Milwaukee Water Works charge the city of Franklin 100% of the public fire protection charge, and then the city of Franklin take half of that charge and charge it back to those particular customers. All of those customers are customers of the Franklin Sewer utility, and so we could be pushing those through that particular billing charge. The memo that was circulated just now to the Common Council members provides not only an explanation of these three particular alternatives, but also copies of water utility bills, one from a local resident who is served by the Franklin Water Utility, and will note on that bill that there is a separate line item for public service, public fire protection, and the other is a water utility, sewer utility bill for one of the property, subject properties of the Milwaukee Water Works, for which you see there are only sewer charges on that particular bill.
City Attorney?
I have a question for Director of Finance and Treasurer. Since I've conferred with longtime staff of the Public Service Commission as well as legal counsel for the Public Service Commission by the statute and fully participated in the 1993 case which created the Franklin Method, my understanding through current is that your mentioned option three, whereby Milwaukee Water Works would charge the city and then the city would charge back half, is totally not available because the city of Franklin is not a Milwaukee Water Works customer. And PSC, 20 years after its original decision authorizing Franklin to do the 50-50, which encompasses the entire city boundary as well as 50% within the utility boundaries, looked closer and decided that any rate setting or charging outside of to a customer would violate the public water regulatory prohibitions against unjust discrimination and rate setting. So is there something new that I found out since last time I talked to the last piece or whatever?
I have nothing new.
Okay. Well, I don't think option three is available. PSC told me there is no choice here. They are directing, and Milwaukee Water Works did not choose to do this. Frankly, for the past 20 years, for whatever reason, Milwaukee Water Works has not charged all of customers on these 137 properties any fees. The fee amounts, roughly, because that always comes down to the final decision in the case, are somewhere, well, the example given is for a one-inch meter or less, and it's contained in the Milwaukee Water Works director's letter at page 130 in the packet. But the annual charge was somewhere in the neighborhood of approximately $100 with approximately $25 a quarter just based on recall, and that's the charge. These property owners have not been charged that for the past some 20 years. The flip side of that, per the PSC decision in 1993, the city of Franklin as a whole was, as a matter of general taxation without any specific line item, collecting general property taxes from these properties, which would include the overall 50% of the Franklin Water Utility. But Mr. Rotzenberg had detailed the calculations on that, and currently, which would be 2013 numbers through current, that amounts to a total for this one-inch meter, which, as I indicated, I believe it's over 100 of the 137 properties. I think it's 102 of them. It's either 1 inch or less. For 1 inch, it's $7.80 a year. So PSC staff, I discussed this in detail with them. Their answer primarily is PSC regulates water rates. We understand general property taxation, and taxation is a large realm. And property owners pay taxes, and in America, you don't get penny for penny back. You pay a penny, and then you get services or some result back. But basically, they did not opine in that regard, simply repeating it's a tax. Nonetheless, based on Alderman Wilhelm's urging, staff did look at the potential of reimbursements of this 50% of Franklin, which, as I indicated, is approximately $7.80 for over 100 of these. And administratively, there's an ability to reimburse that, the annual payment on a sewer bill, because all of these properties are administered through the sewer system in Franklin and the sewer and water department. So there could be, for simplistic description, a $7.80 credit on one of the quarterly sewage bills if the council so determines.
Okay. Alderman Mayor.
So have these people been paying this indirectly through taxes? They've been paying for this?
Yes, the 137. And keep in mind, it's 137 properties, and some of those properties have multiple payers. So if the property gets, you know, if it's an association, it gets one bill. There's more people paying into that, as more taxpayers paying into that than just the amount of people for that one bill. So you could have multiple people paying in.
But the fair share has been being paid.
They've been paying
their fair
into
share.
Franklin, which is paying 50% of the other, you know, 35,000+ people since the beginning, and not receiving anything back. It's just like they just pay, they just help pay everybody else's off.
Well, they have been receiving because they've been receiving the fire protection. So they've been paying their fair share like every other citizen. So this
but
is just
they're not receiving the fire. The fire protection is based on water hydrants, and the water hydrants are Milwaukee and Milwaukee Water.
But it doesn't matter. They're only paying one time for the fire protection, whether it's out there.
Right.
Or
so
Milwaukee,
they were paying just
so
like everyone else.
Their fair share like everyone else.
Yes. And now the situation is different.
Okay, so now Milwaukee wants to charge more for the for protection for these people.
Right. You want me to address that question? Milwaukee wants to charge them for the Milwaukee water, just like Franklin wants to charge Franklin users. So
right.
Then these particular properties would be paying the Milwaukee charge, plus they would continue to pay a portion of their Franklin tax bill to pay the 50% of the other.
That was my point. They need to pay a fair share, but not necessarily more than that.
Right.
So regardless of who supplies the water, it should be a fair share.
Right. So we, I guess, I'll leave to Andrea.
I thought I was under the impression that they weren't being charged for the last 20 years, and there was they're correcting a mistake. I'm referring to council or Paul that they can correct me.
There's two different charges. Milwaukee hasn't been charging, but the property owners have been paying they've been paying their 50% into Franklin. So they've been paying that off their properties. When Franklin does their bill, they say, okay, you use water, you pay 50% of the fire protection on your bill. The other one, 50% that's paid comes from all taxpayers' property taxes, which pays off the people that are getting the Franklin water. So the people that were not getting the Franklin water were still paying in to help pay off the 50%. They weren't being charged for the Milwaukee portion. So now Milwaukee's going to charge them for that portion. But yet we still have their tax portion paying the 50% for the Franklin fire protection. So, in essence, the 137 properties will be paying both 100% of the Milwaukee, because Franklin gets a cut because the revenue is cutting in. They'll be paying 100% of the Milwaukee water rates, and they'll be kicking in 50% share to pay off the Franklin water uses fire protection.
So they're double billed for the same charge, same fee.
For the same service, basically. One service which they really aren't part of, and one service they are part of. And so that's the dilemma we have in front of us, and I think Paul had it.
You explained the situation correctly in terms of how the charges work. We want to Milwaukee Water Works is being mandated by the Public Service Commission to charge all of their retail customers public fire protection. And the city of Franklin, with its water utility, has chosen to split the public fire protection charge half to all property taxpayers and half to the ratepayers. So these particular customers, water customers, are falling in between the cracks in that they are part of the city of Franklin, so they pick up a portion of the Franklin public fire protection charge, and yet they aren't paying any of the Milwaukee fire protection charge, and the PSC is requiring that Milwaukee Water Works begin to charge that and asking the city of Franklin how that charge should be done. The city attorney has said that the PSC, I believe, will mandate that that be done through a the rate chart to the individual rate.
And the woman at the Milwaukee Water Works told me Franklin needs to decide how they want to bill the customers. Do they want to bill the customers directly? Do they want to bill Franklin? They could send the bill to Franklin, and then Franklin could, in turn, what you had said, put it back on the sewerage bill.
As I understand the city attorney earlier in this evening's meeting, that not an option. The Public Service Commission has said that they can only charge the rates through to the retail customers because the city of Franklin is not a customer of the Milwaukee Water Works, and therefore they cannot charge the city of Franklin.
Okay. Different story I got from the person. From
I got no Mark. Information from the city attorney this evening.
Plus,
okay.
Plus, why would we want to stack on an additional administration step where we are billed from Milwaukee and we bill the customer? Why not just let Milwaukee bill them? Bill the customer. Which is the way it sounds like it should be.
And then what's the, you know, what's the 50% share? Who pays, you know, to treat them as equal residents, who pays the 52% of the Milwaukee share? No one. But yet those residents pay the 50% share of the Franklin users. So they're not getting an assistance on their 50% share from their tax revenue, and their tax revenue is going to the other users. So that's all the damage.
Well, that's untrue, because when Franklin responds to a fire and they have to pull water because they don't immediately connect to a fire hydrant, they pull out of their truck, and that's Franklin Water. That's initially spraying and putting out the fire until they can put on the get to the hydrant. So they're immediately taking Franklin Water out of their tank that everybody else is paying for immediate response to address the fire. So can't say they're not getting any benefit. They are getting benefit, because they're getting a fast response from Franklin to address the need to put out that fire.
Well, then you can also turn that same round when a Milwaukee or Greendale or Greenfield truck comes to Franklin. They're filling up from their municipality, but yet there are no taxpayers in Franklin paying for that Greendale, Greenfield, Milwaukee water tank truck that's initially in their truck, but yet Franklin, 137 properties are seeing, well, you have to pay that. So who, what Franklin taxpayers pay back the 137 people to the Milwaukee water that was in the truck?
Well, I'm not going to argue a mutual aid agreement that we have with other communities to be able to address a fire for someone's home that's going to hopefully reduce the amount of damage that's going to occur to that home. So, I mean, we could say that, and we could fight that battle all day long.
I'm just making a fair assessment. You're expecting 137 people to help pay everyone else's, but those other 35,000 people aren't expected to help the 137 with their property taxes. It just, all in there.
You're right. The initial fire attack would be from Franklin Water, probably, in that fire engine, but once that fire's over, that Franklin fire engine is going to fill from that Milwaukee hydrant. They're not going to come back and fill from the Franklin hydrant. They're going to fill from wherever they're at. And so using that argument, then theoretically they would be fighting off Franklin fire with Milwaukee water after that. It just needs to be a fair assessment all the way around. If Milwaukee, they're Milwaukee's customers, if Milwaukee charges that amount for fire protection, that's that. If they're a Franklin customer and Franklin charges whatever for fire protection, then that's that. It just should be a fair assessment all the way around.
I guess the dilemma we're having is how do we come up with that fair assessment? Because, you know, the point you made about, yeah, they fill up with Milwaukee water and the fire goes out immediately, and now they go back to Franklin with a tank full of Milwaukee water. So, you know, you make a valid point on that. So now, and no one helps pay that. We do have people in the audience that are being affected by this that would like to speak. Is there a motion to suspend the rules to allow the citizens that were affected by this?
Second.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to suspend the regular order of business to allow citizens to come forward. And please address, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Richard Green. I'm the president of Park Meadow Homes Association. This is John Rozanski. He's also our financial secretary there.
Your address, please.
Pardon?
Your address.
Oh, 4259 West College Avenue.
4221 West College Avenue.
My main concern right now is kind of like what you were saying about using water. Yeah, I used to be on a fire department, now in Delafield, volunteer fire department. So when we got done with our fires, we filled our trucks up right there. I was hooked up. So even though we use the water, we also replace it right there on the spot, okay? There's also other things that maybe you don't understand. We have a pool, so if additional water is needed, they actually dump their hose in the pool to drain it dry to put out a fire, okay? So then we can be taxed again for that water if it didn't need to be. So, you know, water usage, what I'm more concerned about is the taxation on this. Number one, if we get taxed from the city of Milwaukee, it's not going to go on our tax bill. We're not going to get any benefits from it, correct? It'd be like a line item again for a fee, correct, from the city of Milwaukee that we're going to have to pay. So we won't be able to get a tax break on that either. And I don't think that's fair because it's not fair, all right? When it comes to the other, I mean, we're kind of the armpit of Franklin anyways. Really, when you go down there, we're supposed to have we're supposed to be Franklin residents. We have a Milwaukee mailing address. Our zip code in the phone book shows a different zip code, but we have to use the Milwaukee one, which I think is ridiculous to begin with, and it screws up a lot of things for us. But this is another example. If we have to pay another tax additional to what everybody else in Franklin is, I'll tell you what, we have a paper that goes out once a month. Everybody's going to know about this because we're going to inform them. Okay, and I don't think our residents there are going to like this at all, that they're going to be paying an extra tax if that's what you guys decide to do. And I don't think it should be. Legally, I don't know if there's anything we can do, but it's just not right.
I have a question for you. How many residents are in that condo association?
Well, it depends on, we're all in, you know, condos are actually homes. So
right.
I'll give you an example.
Just how many tax-paying residents are?
We have 195 units, homes in there.
Right.
The people that I couldn't tell you how many residents because we only have one to vote per unit.
Right.
But I'll give you an example.
But I guess what I'm talking about is tax bills. So if you're saying you have
196.
Then you have 196 people paying Franklin property taxes.
Yes.
And that is not the same as this 137 properties,
absolutely not.
Which means there's a whole lot more people paying in this whole, you know, oh, it's only $7 a month. It's just way off because they're doing it based on properties, not by how many people are actually paying the property taxes. And you're just one area.
We're one of the 137.
All of the Sycamore condos, all of the Gazebo Park apartments, all of the, you know, so there are a tremendous amount of people paying property taxes in here that...
And I understand that the city of Milwaukee hasn't charged us, okay? But city of Franklin has. If we would have been paying the city of Milwaukee's, it probably would have been less than what the city of Franklin charged us. So for 20 years, city of Franklin actually benefited from city of Milwaukee not charging us, you know, in that respect. Now, do we care about getting $7 back? I personally, no. Be fair, you know, for everybody in Franklin, that my water bill be the same. My taxes are, tell you what, if you look at unit for units, I pay about $3,000 for my unit. There's four of us. That's $12,000 for four units in our area. I don't know what your houses are, you know, square footage-wise, what you pay, but I'll bet you we're probably a little bit higher paying in taxes than a regular homeowner is. And, you know, we're not asking for better benefits or anything like that. We want to be fair. And if we get taxed from the city of Franklin, and then we get a special line item fee from the city of Milwaukee, whether it's $25 or $100 a year, that's an increase in tax. Just say what it is to us. And that's not right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we have a copy of everything that was sent up here?
Yes.
Thank you.
City attorney. Only if you have a solution.
Here are some real simple numbers. Using the city treasurer's $7.80 a year for 100 of these properties, using the approximate $100 a year now to the Milwaukee Water Works, and that's subject to final PSC decision. Remember, I said I talked to longtime staff and their legal counsel, Public Service Commission, three members make a final decision. I was told the only decision they will recommend is that the customers be charged. There's no authority for PSC to charge the city. With regard to the bottom line that I received from PSC, I was waiting for their legal counsel to get back from some week-long conference. I spoke to staff and legal counsel last Thursday, and I know I verbally told everybody, and I sent out the draft action sheet, which is in your packet, which says the only option for the PSC is full charges to the customer. Round numbers, let's say $8. Let's pretend it's always been $8 for the last 20 years, Franklin. Round numbers, $100. Let's say it's been $100 a year to Milwaukee Water Works. Property owners benefited $92. Paid Franklin $8, didn't pay Milwaukee $100. So if the council wants to resolve the dilemma, I would never recommend something along the lines of, well, if someone doesn't have children in school somehow or another, even though this is not the school district taxing entity, that somehow there could be a rebate. Public fire protection and water rates are extremely technical. Legally, would the city have to make some form of rebate? No. The common council so chooses in this $7.80 realm, and that's the vast majority. I think the highest one with the largest water meter was in the $400 ballpark, as computed by staff. As I indicated, engineering and finance staff said there could be a credit on the quarterly sewer bills. All these property owners are going to get billed for public fire protection on their water bills from Milwaukee County, unless something totally strange.
City of Milwaukee.
Or City of Milwaukee. So that's the bottom line. And FYI, theoretically, there is some ability to back charge 2 years. And I don't think that's happening. I was told it's not going to, but you never know. With regard to the Milwaukee Water Works case, there's seven or eight other municipalities with more residential customers served by Milwaukee that are actually litigating this case. So easy answer, if everybody wants to resolve this, zero out of taxation on this very technical public fire protection rate issue. The motion would be to simply await the final determination of the Public Service Commission and any appeals to such decision in the pending Milwaukee water rate case. And if 100% of the public fire protection charges from Milwaukee Water Works is charged to the customers, then staff would be directed at that time to place a rebate of the amount allocated from the general taxes in Franklin as a credit on the sewer charge bill received from the city of Franklin.
That's the motion.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make that motion.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? There's no further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
And I am voting. Any opposed? It's a unanimous vote by the council. Motion carried. Okay. Gentlemen, I will... set your name on the record. I will get copies of the information and drop them by your house at my next convenient opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. All right. Let's see. We are now on G12, resolution authorizing acceptance of easements for Avian Estate subdivision for sanitary sewer water main, permanent turnaround stormwater management and landscape maintenance access and storm drainage at Putes Road and Avium Way, Northwest 1 quarter, Section 22. This is in District 1.
Yep. I'll make the motion to adopt Resolution 2014-a resolution authorizing acceptance of easement for Avian Estate subdivision for sanitary sewer water main, permanent turnaround and stormwater management and landscape maintenance access and storm drainage at West Putes Road and West Avian Way, parentheses, Northwest 1 quarter, Section 22, end parentheses.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No opposed? Motion carried. I missed a... Yeah.